If you have your Bibles, let's go quickly to Luke chapter number 1. I would like those that are listening, if you would, share this message, if you would. It's a timely message. We're living in troublesome times. Somebody say amen. Let's be honest with you. We're living in fearful times. Fearful times. We've been going through a pandemic near 10 months now. Got everybody scared half to death. And I'll be honest with you, some of the fear that's been shown, it's not healthy fear. Because there's a God that can take us through all of us. Somebody say amen. Not a healthy fear. And by the way, the fear of this new president. Now, I just tell it like it is. You know, I ain't worried about what they're going to say to do to me. They might be a day to shut me down, but right now I'm going to preach it real good till he gets in at least. A lot of folks afraid what's going to happen. I want you to know something. Fear not tonight, because I want to tell you something. God puts them down and raises them up. And God has put Mr. Biden in as president. Now, I want you to know, this might shake some of you up. You might be surprised by this. But I'm going to pray for him every day. Because my Bible says to do that. He's not exactly what I wanted. He's absolutely not what I wanted. But I'm still praying. Because the Bible said in 1 Timothy to pray for those that God put in office. Somebody say amen anyhow. And then you never know. I'll tell you something else to bring fear. When I read that list, there's a lot of people older and younger and in the middle age that have sickness that's come on them all of a sudden. And I want all you to know, you'll never know what might happen to you tomorrow. Somebody help me pray. You don't know. I don't know. But I do know this, Brother Michael. I know who holds tomorrow. And I want to preach tonight on the subject, fear not. Because I believe we need some preaching on fear not, because there's a whole bunch of people frightened tonight about what's going on in their lives and around their lives. But I'm glad in the Christmas story, I will show you three places that the angels came down to people specifically and told them to fear not. So if my God told them to fear not and came to them personally and said, fear not, how about you tonight? I got a God can come where you are and calm your fears and say, fear not. So let me be your guide tonight. And let's go to Luke chapter number 1, first of all. And I want to point you to Mary. By the way, you say, why you preach on fear? Let me say one more thing. Because a lot of people do weird things out of fear. So, there's a lot of people do some bad actions out of fear. Let me just give you three or four examples just before I read this text. Abraham lied about Sarah because of fear. Jacob displayed fear when Esau and 400 of his men came near him. Moses feared Pharaoh. Moses also feared rejection. You know, a lot of us fear rejection. We don't want anybody to be displeased with it. But I want to give you some news tonight. We need not to worry about what man thinks about us. We need to be concerned about what God thinks. So I'm going to give you three thoughts tonight. Look at Luke chapter number 1. I'll try to get all three of the passages and the thoughts out tonight. And I want you to look at Luke 1 and verse 26. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Oh, yes, I said it. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Woo! And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Now listen to verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, hallelujah. First of all, I want you to notice, do not fear God's providence or the fear of human impossibility. There's folks in this room and folks that's listening to me by the way of live stream. You're facing what seems like an impossible task around you, and things have got you confused, and you're wondering, what is God going to do? I want you to know the word providence means care, guardianship, control, divine direction. In other words, it is the overruling watch, care, and involvement of God in our lives. And I want to raise my hand tonight, and you ought to raise your hand tonight, that somewhere in the shadows, the Lord Jesus is there, and He has control over our life. He has direction in our life. He has it all under control. We may not think He has, but He does. Whew. I want you to notice, first of all, the calmness of Mary's life. Now, I want you to know, she was only 14, 15 years old. That's all she was. And when Gabriel appeared to her, she was like any 14 or 15. She had dreams of a perfect husband, a perfect life, and she was just calm at that time. She was a virgin. She was a virtuous woman. She was a woman that her life was calm. But I want to tell you, she was getting ready to hear news that was going to turn her life upside down. How about that? How about life? You don't know when tomorrow you may hear some news that'll turn you right upside down. Somebody help me. And then verse 28 through 37. I see the challenge to Mary's life. When he told her she was going to bear the Christ child, you know what she was going to do, Lois? She was going to bear shame. She's going to bear reproach. She's going to bear humiliation. And all of it was going to be for the glory of God. Amen. She was going, hey, listen to me. Could you just imagine this virgin was getting ready? The Holy Ghost going to conceive her. She was going to get pregnant. Her whole life was now going to be challenged. She could be brought before divorce. But by the way, in engagement back then, they could have divorced an engaged person. See, their engagement was more serious to them than our marriages are today. Somebody help me preach. Are y'all with me? Hey, this lady was going to go through so much humiliation. Could you imagine when she got pregnant and Joseph was so overwhelmed also, and she had to bear that shame. But I want you to know something. I'm glad that when we had to go through shame and trouble and heartache and burdens, I'm glad there's a God that can come to us and say, fear not. Woo! Then I want you to notice this. The consecration of Mary's life. Look at verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want you to know something. You know what a bunch of us need to do? And I think this is where we have a lot of fault. We just don't take God at His word. How many of y'all believe God? How many of you believe the Bible is inspired, inerrant, infallible? The Word of God. Do you believe that tonight? You want Mary done? She accepted the Word from the angel. She accepted the Word of God. She fell right into the purpose of God and said, I'll go through it. I'll go whatever happens to me. I'm going to be faithful. Somebody help me right here. You know what we got? We got a bunch of Christians and they thought when they go and get saved about like Joel Osteen, they're going to have the health, wealth, God will never know problems, never know heartaches. That's just not what life's about. Amen. But aren't you glad that there's a fear not for the providence of God? We don't know what God has in our for our life. But secondly, I hate to have to rush through this, but I'm trying to move fast because I want to give you all three thoughts. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1. And verse number 18 through 25. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Do not fear God's providence. How many of y'all, let me stop a minute. I'm going too fast perhaps. How many of y'all can look back at your life and you went through some difficult times, but through it all, after looking back, you saw God's hand in your life. You saw Him somewhere in the shadows. You questioned Him. Come on now. If there's anybody who could have questioned Him, Mary could have questioned Him. How any of y'all ever question God? I got people going through sickness tonight. I know probably in their mind they're wondering, why has this happened? What's going on in my life? But I want you to know there's a God that's in the shadows, a God that's in the promise of His will, who has everything under control. I don't know what you're going through, but I know He still has everything under control. Let me give you a second one, quickly. Woo. Y'all with me? Verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now notice this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he fought on these things, how many of y'all could you imagine his dream girl, the love of his life, comes to him and says, I'm pregnant. First thing comes in his mind, she's had another man. She's cheated on me. She's done wrong. And he started pondering all that in his mind. Are y'all with me? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, here he comes again, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by Mary, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Can you see the pattern? Mary heard the word and said, I'll follow. Joseph heard the word. Guess what? He said, I'll follow. Let me give you three thoughts. I want you to notice, secondly, do not fear God's plan. Or that's the fear not of immediate obedience. You know what God wants out of your life? He don't want you to wait to be obedient. He wants you to be obedient as soon as you hear a word from Him and He tells you what's going on. You need to be obedient right at that moment. Amen. It ain't up for a vote. We're not allowed to vote. We're just allowed to take what God says and do what He says. Now, verse 18, 19, I noticed the pain of Joseph's life. Joseph, like Mary, was on the way of having a pure, chaste, virgin woman. And he gets the news that she's pregnant. And here's what he had two possible solutions. He could divorce Mary quietly and have her sent away until the baby was born. Or he could divorce her publicly and thereby subject her to ridicule and humiliation. And also could have led to her death. Joseph was literally turned upside down by the news of Mary. You ever had your life turned upside down? You ever questioned God's plan for your life? You ever questioned how your life has turned out so far? I want you to know, some of you hear me, that God had a plan for Joseph's life, and what Joseph had to do is what we all have to do. We've got to fall in place and be obedient unto God and trust God and fear not. Then I see the privilege of Joseph's life. Joseph pondered the situation. God sent an angel. And he told him, guess what you get to do? You get to raise Jesus. Somebody help me preach. You know, I didn't know how my life was going to turn out, Rich. I was raised in a tough environment. I was raised by a bartender. In all intent and purpose, my life should have ended up that way. But see, God had a plan in my life. And you know what? When God come to me and saved me and then called me to preach 6 months later, you know what God did? Wanted? He didn't want to debate. He didn't want to say, why is this happening to me? Why are you wanting this? No, what I done to God was, I said, God, if that's what you say, I'm going to do it. And I don't feel worthy to do it. I don't feel able to do it. But if that's what you say, I'm doing it. But see, it's a privilege to serve God. I'm going to say this. It's a privilege to be a part of God's plan. Amen. Hey, some of you tonight, God's put you in position of authority. God's put you in position in your life that people depend on you. I want you to know something. That's not a burden. That's a blessing. And it ought to be a privilege to you that you're able to serve God and be obedient. Whew. That's pretty good, isn't it? And then I see the priorities of Joseph's life. Look at verse 24 and 25. Hallelujah. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. You know what God, the angel told him? Marry her. Even though she's pregnant, you just trust me, what's in hers of the Holy Ghost. That's God's baby. That's got the blood of God in her. And you follow me and you make that a priority. It'd be a great day in your life when God's priority and serving Him is the most important thing you do. Somebody help me. I want to tell you, there ain't nothing greater than being obedient to God. Lastly, y'all all right? I'm moving over a lot of material. Now turn back to Luke. Let's go to the final place that this word fear not's mentioned. And I find it in Luke chapter number 2 again and verse number 8. And I see not only the fear not of God's providence and the fear not of God's plan, but also I see the fear not of God's presentation. Notice with me in verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Notice what the Bible said. And lo, here's that angel coming again. Of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were, say at church, sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Michael, this is the fear not of God's presence. And when the angel came down, he said, I want you to know Jesus is going to be born. You're going to be the mouthpiece. Yeah. Don't you fear. Don't you be frightened, because he's the one that's going to bring salvation. I want all y'all to know there's no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. Hey, it's not in Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Mary Baker, Eddie Patterson, and the Christian Scientists. It's not the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not in the Mormons. It's not found in the Church of Christ. It's not found in the work of religion. It's found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was presented unto the shepherds. Now notice, first of all, the burden of the shepherds. If you know anything about background of shepherds, most of them were social outcasts. How many remember when God came to you when you was an outcast and salvation was presented to you? I remember when you got right with God, Michael. At that time, you was an outcast, wasn't you? You was a mess. But look at you now. Evangelist, sat beside your wife, been married 10 days or 11, happy as you could be, even if you didn't have good sense at times. Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad for that? How many's glad when we were unlovable, ungodly, that Christ was presented to us? How many's glad, oh happy day, whether you was a 5-year-old innocent child, you thought, or a sinful man? Can I tell you, thank God it's the same presentation that brings salvation either to a 5-year-old or a wicked hardened sinner. In verses 9 to verse 14, the blessedness of the shepherd's life. These outcast keepers of lambs are the first to receive the news that the Lamb of God has come into the world. Woo! Why were they afraid? Well, I'll tell you why they're afraid. Sinners are always afraid when the gospel hits them. How many remember the day the conviction came to you? Now, I want you to know it scared me half to death. It put a burden on me. See, I don't believe in this bubble gum stuff. I don't believe in just sign a card. I believe you've got to fall under Holy Ghost conviction to be saved. And you've got to see yourself lost and see yourself ungodly. And that's what they did. Somebody help me. Then I'll finish. The brilliance of these shepherds' lives. Verses 15 to 20. after these shepherds met baby Jesus, they forever changed. How many can raise your hand and say, I remember when I met him? Come on, raise them if you remember when you met him. Has your life been the same? He changed us. He blessed us. Woo! Somebody said this, and I'll be done. Someone cited three keys to happiness. How many wants to be happy? Number one, fret not, because God loves us. Faint not, because He holds us. And fear not, because He keeps us. I'm about to get happy myself. He loved me like I was His only child. How many of you feel like I did? I didn't feel like I deserved His love. I felt rotten. I still feel rotten. I still wonder, why in the world did you love me? Why did you choose me? Why did you look beyond my fault? I thank God. You ought to raise your hand tonight on this these days before Christmas and raise your hand saying you're glad that God found you, blessed you, saved you. You're on your way to heaven. He loves you. Bow your head with me, I'm done. I know I went through that quickly. I had a lot longer preaching than that. But I hope some of that helps you. How many tonight? You got some stuff in your life that's surrounding your life that's causing you some anxiety and causing you some fear. And tonight you say, Preacher Smith, I've got some things that's really causing me some anxiety. And I'm fearful. And I want to tell you, preacher, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I tell you, I need you to pray for me. Because I want to claim that fear not, that God's going to take care of me. How many raise your hand and say, pray for me? Just hold them up. Yes, several of you. God bless you. I want you to stand with me. If you want to pray, you can. But I'm going to pray for you. There's a bunch of people in the room, raise their hand. You got stuff in your life that's called fear to come upon you. And you don't know what tomorrow holds. But can I give you some good news? He holds tomorrow. Our Father, Lord, I pray right now. There's folks all over the room that have situations in their life that's causing anxiety. There's people on live stream right now with cancer, heart disease, wayward children, broken lives, financial problems, wondering if they're going to have a job tomorrow, wondering about the future after January the 20th, wondering all and worrying and concerned and nervous. God, come to them tonight. You may not send an angel, but God, you can send your Holy Spirit and work on people's lives. Maybe there's somebody here lost. I think everybody's saved, but if there's somebody lost, God, help them to come and get saved. But Lord, help us tonight to fear not, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.